kind of excited, I gotta admit.
How could you not be excited? Don Knotts is, without a doubt, one of the most memorable and beloved TV personalities in history. His daughter, Karen Knotts, is here. She's a comedian, an actress, and appearing at the Comedy Shrine out in the western suburbs in Aurora. You got a show tonight at 8 o'clock and a show tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Karen, thanks for being here.
I'm delighted to be here. Thanks
great to be here. I know a day doesn't go by, probably, that somebody or groups of people don't come up to you and say, we love your dad.
All the time. And it's great because, you know, his show, The Andy Griffith Show, is on the air literally every state in this country.
And every minute.
Daily.
Yeah.
So people are still watching.
Here in Chicago, Channel 9, for years and years and years and years, had a block at 6 o'clock, and it was The Andy Griffith Show, and then it was Dick Van Dyke at 6:30, and that was the most solid hour of TV. I don't care whatever they put on any other channel.
Right.
You
and
had to see that.
We had the same thing in California, starting at 8 o'clock.
Mm.
Well, probably 7. But all those great sitcoms were back-to-back, and it was nothing like it.
Yep. It was great viewing. Yep. It really was. So having Don Knotts as your father, no wonder you're doing comedy right now. I mean, really.
Yes. I learned from the master. You can't get any better than that.
What do you think it was about him? What made him so special? I can't think of anyone else that was quite like your dad was.
Exactly. Well, he was so genuine.
Yeah.
His character, while it was broad comedy, at the heart of it was so real and so relatable.
Yeah.
And just so endearing. You know, the qualities that people can all understand, that wanting to be great, that wanting to be recognized, that desire to be successful. And really, he wasn't as successful as the character was not successful in those terms, but then the community around him of people that cared about him and loved him and made him feel good about himself, that's universal.
Yeah, yeah. He's best known as Barney Fife on The Andy Griffith Show. So how was he like Barney Fife, and how was he different from Barney Fife?
That is a great question, because most people assume that he was Barney Fife. They just naturally think so.
Yeah.
But he could be, at times, very excitable and very dramatic.
That's an understatement.
No, I mean, in real life, he could
yes.
be, you know.
But thinking of, you know, excitable as Barney just makes me laugh. Sorry.
I know. He would get that high-pitched tone to his voice, you know. And other times, he was extremely practical and wise and sophisticated.
Yeah.
And he also, in real life, had a certain deadpan delivery that was the opposite of Barney Fife. I mean, he could just deliver these lines that would just kill you, you know. He was so witty.
But when he's being, because he's a dad, he's your dad, so he's got to go into dad mode and be very serious at times, but I don't know how.
Well, he was never really a traditional father. He always treated me like we were best friends.
Oh.
And he would talk to me about his life, even his love life things, when he was going through different relationships. And, he was married 3 times.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, so it was like, wow, I just feel like I've got this worldly man, this very successful man, as a friend. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
And yet you still listen to him, because a lot of people complain, you know, you can't be your kid's friend. You have to be a parent. But there is a little combination of both.
Well, he would be very, you know, firm about things.
Yeah.
He knew his bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother, too. My brother was also very close to him. And we knew that his bottom line was there. But it was just, there were just a lot of sides to him.
Did he want the two of you in show business, or did he want you to stay
Definitely
away?
Definitely not.
He did not
want me in show business. When I first told him, you know, he was very upset about it. But he overcame that. In fact, he even gave me a little spot on his variety show, which I do show in Tied Up in Knots in my show.
Mm-hmm.
He actually gave me this debut, which was amazing. I was only 16.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So, that's a nice, sweet 16 gift.
Yeah, how about that?
He and Andy Griffith had worked together prior to The Andy Griffith Show. They were in No Time for Sergeants together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden they strike up a friendship, and then it pays off as big can be later on.
Right. They struck up a friendship like no other that I've ever heard of. I mean, they were both from the South, and they had a common love of these characters, of people they knew, and people that are intrinsically Southern and small town and just small town life. They loved all of that. And they would tell each other stories, and it would just get them going creatively. And They could spend hours together, and they did. And a lot of the routines that they came up with on their own in the Griffith Show,
yeah.
Which they, you know, the producer might take them aside and say, "Hey, listen, guys, we got a little hole here. We got a little time we need to fill. Can you just come up with something?" And they'd go off in a corner and talk, and they would create these things. Amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, watching them, I mean, you saw pairs and duos working together, and you were entertained, but there was something different. There was something special between Barney and Andy.
Very special.
You really could notice that.
Very special. They had the classic. They were, you know, straight man and funny man. Mm-hmm. They were. But so much more than that. They were friends. They had relationship. They had common interests and caring, and almost like Andy was the dad,
yeah.
in a way.
Yeah.
You know? But there was just so much between them, and so much real humor. And they both loved music too.
Oh, they'd play beautiful. Sometimes the Darlin boys would come down and they'd play right there on the front porch. Karen Knotts is here. She has a show, Tied Up in Knots, that's going to be playing at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. You got a chance to see it tonight at 8 o'clock or tomorrow at 8 o'clock. We will be giving away a couple of pairs of tickets, so stay tuned for that. Karen, if you watched the run of the show, and I know you did, you noticed that the character, Andy's character, Andy Taylor, changed quite a bit after about the second season. He went from being kind of a country bumpkin to a more serious role model type dad and sheriff. Your dad's character remained the same, and the story I always heard was, they together realized that Andy needed to change his character to conform more with what Don was bringing to the role. Is that true? Do you know if that's true?
Well, you know, I haven't really thought about that part of it, but I do know, I mean, in the beginning, Andy was supposed to be the funny one.
Yeah.
Because he had just come off that run of, you know, No Time for Sergeants, where he was hilarious. He was absolutely drop-dead funny in that role. So he was fully expecting to play the funny one. So my dad caught the show, the pilot, on television. He was watching with his friend Pat Harrington Jr. They'd both been on the Steve Allen Show together. Now they were out of work. They were out of work actors. He saw the show. He called Andy the next day and said, "Say, Ange, couldn't Sheriff Taylor use a deputy?"
Mm-hmm.
And that was how he got started. He went in and pitched this character. So, I mean, as soon as he came on the show, everybody, including Andy, of course, knew, okay, this whole situation is going to change. This is the funny one. Barney is way funnier than Andy.
Yeah.
So Andy was gracious enough. You know, a lot of stars today would sooner end the show than have to be second fiddle to.
Sure.
But they're the star. But Andy was gracious and wise enough to realize that he was going to now be straight man to Barney Fife. And he just embraced that. And so I think it probably, to your point, probably took a little while for him to evolve into that character.
Sure.
As you know, for him to change into that role.
You mentioned Pat Harrington. Who was hanging out at your house on any given day? Did your dad have card parties? Were people hanging around celebrity-wise?
Well, it's funny you mentioned card parties. When you say that, I think of Phyllis Diller.
Oh, my God, I loved her.
She was a great poker player, and I remember her being at the house.
Oh.
We had a lot of comedy writers, mostly.
Yeah.
And those were the people that were the most exciting to be around to me. But, of course, as a kid, when you walk into a room of comedy writers, expect to be the butt of the joke. You just are.
They're always writing.
No way.
What an education for you, though. I can't think of a better school to go to than your own home there.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. And for an 8-year-old kid, being around comedy writers is pretty amazing.
Your dad at some point realizes he wants to branch out a little bit. He leaves the show. He leaves the Andy Griffith Show. But then he comes back and wins an Emmy as a guest star.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
That's pretty amazing. Well, you know, people wondered, why did your dad leave the show? But Andy always said he was only going to do the show for 5 seasons.
Yeah.
He was always dead about that. I mean, he never changed. So Dad started looking for work, and he got this great contract deal from Universal for 5 pictures where he would be the sole star, have control. I mean, that's what everybody dreams of, you know.
Right.
And Andy was totally supportive. Of course, he was devastated personally, but he always was this great mentor person to my dad, and he just embraced it. And so, you know, of course, Dad said, okay, I'll come back and I'll do the character again, and so I won't be totally gone.
Right. That friendship lasted right up to the end. Andy was there when your dad passed away.
That's
he was at the bedside, right?
Isn't that a beautiful end, really, when you think about it?
Yes, it was. It was. I talk about that in my show, about it was a beautiful farewell to my father for for all of us to be there with him, and it was something very special.
I'm sure. We're talking to Karen Knotts. Again, that one-woman show is playing at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. You have a chance to see it tonight at 8 o'clock or tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And before this is over, we'll be giving away some tickets. So stick around. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It is Bill and Wendy on WGN along with Karen Knotts. Karen is the daughter of the great Don Knotts. She has a show called Tied Up in Knots that is playing tonight and tomorrow night. 8 o'clock starts at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. We'll be giving away a couple of pairs of tickets to each night, so stay here. I'll tell you when to call and what number to be. Karen, in addition to the Andy Griffith Show, we should also mention his work as Mr. Furley.
Yes.
For how many seasons on Three's Company?
Oh, gee, I'm not really sure.
Quite a while.
It was quite a while, but, yeah. You know, he stepped in for when they lost Mr. Roper,
yeah.
The original landlord, played by Norman Fell.
Mm-hmm.
And the producers, they were just going crazy. They had a lot of ups and downs, and they were like, how are we going to replace Norman Fell? And finally he said, why don't we get a Don Knotts type? And the casting director said, what, are you crazy? Why don't you just get Don Knotts?
Yeah.
And he said, Don Knotts, is he still alive?
Oh, no.
And Bernie said, yes, and he's younger than you.
And didn't that open a whole new category of fans for him?
Absolutely. I mean,
loved him.
Sudden,
loved his polyester.
Yes. It was a total takeoff on the 70s styles.
You know what you had there is you had one of the guys with the greatest timing in the history of television, your dad, and then John Ritter, who I think carried on that tradition.
Absolutely.
Of knowing exactly to the millisecond how to play a laugh.
Absolutely.
That's a good combination.
They were very good friends. They had a wonderful time. They were great. And it was interesting, too, on the show because my dad had, on the Andy Griffith Show, it was shot like a movie. With all these different camera angles and no audience. This show was live audience, and they had no teleprompter.
Mm.
No teleprompter. So my dad was a little freaked out in the beginning. And so he kiddingly said, you know, to the producer, you know I'm going to use a teleprompter, right? It was a practical
panic.
Joke.
Was that panic time? It must have been.
But he didn't. They never did use it. And so it was a big deal for him. But then once he got used to it, he loved it, you know. And Joyce DeWitt said, when I interviewed her for a book that I'm writing, and she said that the biggest thing that they loved was when Mr. Furley would come out during the live show because they didn't know what wardrobe he was going to wear. And so they would have to keep from laughing
sure.
during his entrance.
A lot of scarves.
A lot of scarves. Bell bottoms,
yep.
And all that.
Yep.
It was awesome. All right, so you mentioned you were your first break at show business, 16 years old on your father's variety show. Mm-hmm. So when did you start doing comedy now? How long have you been doing this, your one-woman show?
Well, I started doing the show when my father passed away. I had been writing it, and he helped me a little bit here and there, but never really took it that seriously until he was gone. And then I was like, oh, my gosh, I've got to get these stories out there.
Oh, yeah.
And start really doing this because I want to keep this alive because so many people, he means so much to so many people.
Yeah.
And all my life I've been asked questions about him.
Yeah.
And I thought, perfect premise for a show. What was he like? What was it like? So that was when I really started doing the show.
It can't miss. A story like that cannot miss. When they did Return to Mayberry, mm-hmm. the TV movie, the follow-up, you
right.
were a guest star on that.
I had a part on the show. And thanks to Dad and Andy, they actually kind of created this little part for me of Rudine, the secretary to Opie, who's now grown up and editor of a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very nervous because I had a scene with Andy Griffith. I was terribly nervous because he was always very kind to me when I was a child. It was like having an uncle. But now suddenly here I am having to work with this world-class actor, which
yeah.
just had this little part.
Yeah.
And he could see how nervous I was. And so he came up with the idea for me to be eating a cookie during the scene. He said that would force me to concentrate on chewing and would take my mind off of being nervous, which it did.
Sure.
Of course. I'd be scared I would choke on it. It's like when you get nervous, your throat closes up a little bit.
Did that little boy, Ron Howard, did he go on to do anything after?
There's a cute story about that. When I was a little girl, I wanted to be on the Andy Griffith Show.
Sure.
I wanted to be an actor on the show, you know. And my dad said, absolutely not, no way. You know, it's a lonely life for a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Poor lonely Ron Howard.
Oh, he did all right. He did all right. what about your dad's movies? I guess the ones that come to mind, Wendy and I were talking about The Ghost of Mr. Chicken and The Incredible Mr. Limpet, which still,
oh,
if it's
God,
on TV,
amazing.
It's impossible to turn the channel. You go, I love this movie. Was he proud of his film work? I hope he was.
Oh, very much so, of course. And I remember being on the set of The Incredible Mr. Limpet. Carol Cook played his wife, the flaming red hair.
Yeah.
And when she... If you remember, those of you who saw that, when she put the glasses on the fish,
yeah,
right, 'cause he had lost his glasses, she leans over in this very touching scene. Well, what they did was they raised up this box on a crane full of just junk,
yeah,
a box of junk, up to her eye level, and she put the glasses on the box of junk and played this tearful scene, and I thought, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
She could create that reality from that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That is amazing to hear that and then go yeah back and see it. I got to rewatch it.
I'm so glad, first of all, to meet you, and second of all, that your childhood was so happy with your dad, because mm-hmm we all grew up watching him and loving him, and you want so badly for whatever goes on behind the scenes to be magical, and I'm glad yeah that it was.
He was a beautiful person, a wonderful father.
Yeah.
Of course, nobody's perfect,
right,
but he was a great, great person.
Good.
And I appreciate even more now that I'm an adult, because you meet people and they go, they tell you about their growing up or their parents, and you go, oh my gosh, I had a great mother and a great father,
yeah,
and this wonderful upbringing. And they tell me, you know, that watching the Andy Griffith Show gave them the morals and the background that their parents didn't give them.
Definitely.
And I'm like, well, I'm glad it's still on the air.
It is a great show. Tied Up in Knots, thank you so much for keeping your father alive in this show.
Thank you. I'm glad you appreciate it, and I'm love to do it.
We have a couple of pairs of tickets to give away. Now, there are two shows. There's one tonight at 8 o'clock, and there's one tomorrow at 8 o'clock. So right now, 312-981-7200, if you're caller 10, 11, 12, or 13, you will win a pair of tickets to either tonight's show or tomorrow's show. Work it out with Kevin. We want you to come and see Karen Knotts' show, Tied Up in Knots, at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. 8 o'clock starts tonight and tomorrow. Karen, again, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Honor to meet you.
We'll take a quick break and then some news and then more show. Bill F. and Wendy Snyder here on WGN.